Jung looked as if he wasn't sure whether he was witnessing some kind of solemn special operator's ritual or his leg was being pulled. Castillo saw on Leverett's face that he had picked up on Jung's uncertainty and was about to crack wise. "Two guns, one of us, Colin," Castillo said simply. He was on the operation where Cy Krantz bought the farm. "I could tell just by looking at him that he was a warrior," Leverett said. "He's bow-legged, wears glasses, and he talks funny."
"I think I like this guy,"
Telchamp said. "Sorry, Two Gun," Leverett said. "I didn't know who the hell you were." Jung smiled and made a deprecating gesture. "So was Corporal Bradley," Taurine said. "And he probably deserves a medal. For marksmanship, if nothing else. For taking out two of the bad guys with two headshots. But I don't think we ought to call him in here and give him one of these." "God, this looks good, Colin." "Mud in your eyes, Seymour," Castillo said, and took a swallow. The others followed suit. Castillo put his glass on the table and exhaled audibly. "You look beat, Charlie," Taurine said. Castillo nodded. "So beat," he said, "that I forgot that I have to call the Secretary of State and tell her I couldn't talk Lorimer, Ambassador Lorimer, out of riding out the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in Uruguay. I should have done that before I had this." He held up the Sazerac glass. Taurine shrugged. "Well, what the hell, you tried. Miller told me you went to Mississippi just to see him. What's bad about it, Jake, is that I'm going to have to lie to her, or at least not tell her the truth, the whole truth, etc. And I don't like lying to her."
"Lie to her about what?" Delchamp asked.
"Did Miller tell you I went to see General McNabb?" Delchamp nodded.
"But he didn't say why."
"We're going to send two A teams, one of them, Collins, to Argentina, a couple of shooters at a time. Then we're going to put four H-model Hueys into Argentina, black. Can you guess where we're going to refuel them after they fly off the USS Ronald Reagan 100 miles off the Uruguayan coast, before they fly on to, I don't yet know where, Argentina?"
"Boy, you have been the busy special operator, haven't you?" Delchamp said. "Does Montvale know about this?"
"No, not about the Ronald Reagan. That idea came from a bird colonel who works for McNabb. Kingston?" Delchamp shook his head. Taurine and Davidson nodded.
"Tom Kingston," Taurine said. "Good guy, Edgar."
"Amen," Leverett said.
"And McNabb said he would set that up, if it's possible."
"It's possible," Taurine said.
"After some admiral tells him not only no, but hell no, he will be told to ask the Secretary of the Navy, who will tell him that he's been told by the Secretary of Defense that the President told him you're to have whatever you think you need. They call that the chain of command,"
Castillo chuckled.
"With that in mind," Castillo said, "and since I couldn't talk him out of going down there, I confided in the ambassador what we want to do with his estancia. He's on board. Good guy." That raised the question of an advance party at Shangri-La, which we damn sure need. One that might have a chance of escaping the attention of Chief Inspector Ordóñez.
"How are you going to handle that? With Two Gun?" Delchamp asked.
"What Two Gun is going to do is show up at the embassy in Montevideo and introduce Ambassador Lorimer's butler."
"I wondered what that Cullen the butler business was all about," Taurine said, smiling and shaking his head.
"To Ambassador McGrory," Castillo went on, "explaining that Cullen came down to see what has to be done to Shangri-La before Ambassador and Mrs. Lorimer can use it, which he has decided against advice to do, because his home in New Orleans was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina."
"That's just my work, Charlie," Taurine said.
"Edgar?"
"Why not?"
Delchamp said. "David?" Castillo asked.
"McGrory, like most stupid men in positions of power, is dangerous," Jung said.
"I agree with that, too," Delchamp interjected. "I presume he's to be kept in the dark?"
Castillo nodded, as is Secretary Cohen, who certainly is not stupid.
But there are people around her who might find out and might tip off McGrory. That's what I meant about having to lie to her. I'm going to tell her Lorimer's going, period.
She's liable to cable or telephone McGrory and tell him to take care of Lorimer,
Young said.
I thought about asking her to do just that, Castillo said. But since I'm not going to tell her about Colin, that would really be lying to her, deceiving her. And I don't want to do that.
And you're not going to tell Montvale either?
Young asked.
More smoke and mirrors, David, Castillo said. I'm going to tell him that two A-teams and the Hueys are being sent, but no other details, and that as soon as I firm up the operation, I'll tell him all about it.
The reaction of just about everybody to that was almost identical. Their faces wrinkled in thought, and then there were shrugs.
Speaking of the Director of National Intelligence, Taurine said, or at least his number two, I had an interesting chat yesterday with Truman Ellsworth. He even bought me a drink.
Delchamp raised an eyebrow and offered,
and I had one with the DCI, who didn't buy me a drink, but about which we have to talk.
Ellsworth called you, Jake? Castillo said.
I called him.
Why?
What did you think of the crew on Montvale's Gulfstream?
He asked, going off at a tangent, Castillo said.
Taurine said reasonably, I'd really like you to answer the question, Charlie.
Castillo grinned.
Well, they were Air Force, so I was pleasantly surprised when they got it up and down three times in a row without bending it.
Delchamp chuckled.
Screw you, Colonel, Taurine said. What about the co-pilot?
Nice young man, academy type. I had the feeling he'd rather be flying a fighter.
Cutting to the chase, that nice young man was naturally curious what a doggy light bird was doing running around in Montvale's personal Gulfstream 5. Diligent snooping around revealed that the doggy light bird was doing something clandestine for that Air Force legend in his own time, Colonel Jacob Taurine. He found that interesting, because said Colonel Taurine was the ring knocker who talked him out of turning in his suit and going to fly airliners. So he called OOA at the Nebraska complex, finally got Miller on the horn, and Miller transferred the call here.
What did he want? Castillo said.
A transfer to do anything at all for his mentor, Taurine said, so long as it gets him out of flying the right seat in Montvale's Gulfstream.
What did you tell him?
That I'd get back to him. That's when I called Ellsworth to ask him how the ambassador would feel about letting us have him.
Jesus, Jake. We could really use, we really need, another Gulfstream pilot, Castillo said.
Especially since one of three we have has gone home to wife and kiddies, and the second can count his Gulfstream landings on his fingers.
Really?
I thought you had more landings than that. Castillo said, as if genuinely surprised.
Leverett smiled and shook his head.
Taurine gave Castillo the finger.
So what did Ellsworth say? Castillo asked.
He was charm personified. He said he really couldn't talk to me then because he had to meet someone at the Willard, that would take about an hour, and would I be free to meet him in the Round Robin after his meeting, as he would really like to buy me a drink?